Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So we're talking here about the editing process for the phenomenon, and maybe we're getting too much in the weeds, but you've got to realize the pain, the agony, all the effort he put in to put this labor of love together. You're not going to run away with tens of millions of dollars here. People have to understand that.
Yeah, it was the better part of 8 years from concept to completion. And I mean, I describe it oftentimes as the feeling of being in a ring with a monster and you're just trying to survive the next round. And that is exhausting. It's not even so much the amount of workload was huge, but it's the consistency of it. And you can't, you know, when you're involved with a project like this, you can never just shut it off. It's constantly in the back of your mind when you go to sleep, when you're asleep, when you wake up, and when you go about your day, how am I going to pull this off? How am I going to get these interviews? Oh, I'm running out of money again. I need to go bank for more money. I need to get more investors. And this just goes on and on for year after year after year after year. And there's literally a story behind, I mean, I could probably make a documentary on each interview that we landed. Gosh, people start to ask me, oh, how was it in Australia? It's like, wow, you wouldn't believe what it took to get the interviews with some of the people in Australia.
Oh,
well, I
would
go on about that.
Definitely. You know, Let's actually talk a little bit about that, because for me, here we go. You just hit on another one of those golden moments, because it's another school with a whole bunch of children and teachers who also witnessed a UFO sighting. Really, really interesting.
It's so incredible, and I have to give Paola Harris credit for introducing me to James Rigney and ultimately Shane Ryan, who did a film on that Westall case. When I initially hear about these school landings, I think, you know, come on. How could an event of that magnitude with that many witnesses in broad daylight take place and the world not know about it? To me, that was my reasoning. It was just, come on. But I have learned over the years to suspend judgment and listen to the witnesses and just hear them out, because more times than not, I come in thinking there's no way this is true, and I walk away going, I can't believe this happened. The landing in Westall, I mean, there were, according to the teacher which I interviewed, close to 300 people in 10 o'clock in the morning, broad daylight, all sitting out with their jaws on the floor, watching this couple of discs maneuver around in the sky. At one point, there's a smaller airport nearby, and a couple of small light aircraft were sort of playing cat and mouse. And then the UFO lands just outside the school grounds, and a number of kids jump the fence and run out by the forest where it landed. You know, we interview some people that got within 10, 12 feet of a landed flying saucer in broad daylight. I mean, it's unbelievable, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you on this because, I'd read the classic cases and, you know, the Ruppelt's report on unidentified flying objects and Kehoe and all the rest, and had seen most of the other documentaries, including your previous one, which is very good, too. Yeah, then somebody just mentioned this, you know, what about the Westall encounter? And I'm like, the what? And then,
right, I know.
And then it was like, wow, this is amazing. You know, and you've got the interview with the one, I think if I'm remembering correctly here, it was a former teacher who had a visit by some mysterious people that said, you're just not going to say anything or else.
You know how we got him to go on camera? When I first got to Westall, it was a wonderful effort. I mean, I couldn't believe the level of support I got from the organizations and James Rigney and Shane Ryan and all the others. I mean, it was like a whole team of support. Even the media and stuff were incredibly helpful to get me in the room with some of these witnesses that hadn't come forward in 50 years, ever, publicly.
These are gems. These are, like, here, we're talking golden moments again.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'd bore your listeners to death if I went into detail how we got the school teacher for the first time in 15 years to go.
No, don't. You're not boring anyone here. Tell us how you did it. I'd like to know.
I was told from all the researchers, don't even bother trying. He's never going to talk. We've been trying for 50 years. And I said, get me in the room with him. That's all I ask. And in the 3 or 4 or 5 days it took to get the meeting with him to have lunch, I met with his former students as well as witnesses that were standing next to him during the encounter. And I shot very short, succinct sound bites of the students pleading with him, saying, you know, Mr. So-and-so, you were standing next to me. We were practically holding hands. We were children. You've let us out, you know, on our own to not provide support. What are you doing? It's been 50 years. What are you waiting for? One after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. And he literally, at this lunch meeting, I could see he was visibly moved by these women that were his students at the time. I mean, literally one after the other, pleading with him, like, what are you waiting for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You were sitting next to me during the encounter, and you haven't even stood by our side, and if you're ever going to come forward, do it now. So he looks up at me, and he made it really clear at the beginning of the meeting, I'm not going on camera, I'm not going to do it. No. Just want to get. He looks up at me, and he says, I could see he was teetering. He was up against the ropes. I had almost had him where I wanted him. And he said, boy, this is, I'm almost willing to meet with you. And I said, well, what is it going to take? He said, I don't know. You tell me. I said, okay. Right on the fly, I said, we won't reveal your name. We won't have your face on camera. He said, okay, let's do it. And his wife was out shopping while we were doing this luncheon with him. And we were at this like kind of fancy club. It's like one of those clubs, luncheon, dinner clubs for like a gentleman's club, but not in a sexual way, but it was just, you know, kind of more exclusive places.
Right.
And I looked around and I saw the manager and I jumped up out of my chair and I knew we had a small window to get this guy because I could already see that his decision making was already in question and I needed a spot to shoot it and we needed it now. And I said, excuse me, ma'am, is by chance we just need to have a quiet moment together? I didn't want to say filming because they would not allow filming on the premises. I was sure of that. Is there a place? And she said, well, the patio's closed, but, you know, I'll open it for you. And you guys can have your moment out in the patio. It's great. So off we go, whip outside of the patio. James Rigney, I believe it was, could have been Shane Ryan, but I think it was James Rigney, could not figure out how to get the bloody audio working on the camera that he had. And I could see the gears turning in this professor's head. It'd been 50 years. He'd never come forward. And I knew what he was thinking. What am I doing? Why am I doing this? I don't want to get involved. I shouldn't be doing this. My wife's going to kill me. I just knew it. I could see it. And the effects of the testimony he had just heard from his students that were also witnesses standing next to him were where it was wearing off. I finally just said, James, screw it. Grab my iPhone, put it on memo, which records memo. I said, one of you guys, hold this up to his mouth. I'll sync it in post-production. Roll camera. It is what it is, because I'm going to get this guy. It's going to be this or nothing. And we had just about maybe 12 minutes with him, and then I could see his wife arriving through the glass. I see her come walking up the table and we're around. I know his wife didn't want anything to do with this, right? So I'm desperately trying to like get this thing done, hide the camera gear, get back to the table, you know. But I told him that I wouldn't reveal his name and I wouldn't reveal his face, and we didn't. So, but it's very compelling to hear this guy gets a bloody. I mean, 50 years ago, he gets a knock on the door, and it's two men in suits, one in uniform and one in plain clothes suit, basically threatening him. Not basically, they were.
Yeah.
Of course, the thing, they're going to ruin his life if he talked about it.
Well, when you were describing how these children were pleading with him to back them up, I mean, I was literally getting shivers there when you're describing this, because these are very, very powerful moments in people's lives when you're that young, and obviously in his as well. When these things actually happen to you, it's completely different than just talking about it in theory. because anyone can do that. And they can be kind of dismissive and like, oh, yeah, so there's UFOs, big deal, you know, so long as it doesn't affect my golf game.
More to come with Gene. Randall and James, you're in the Paracast. Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not, but you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your four-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
The thing to amplify what you were saying, Randall, before we broke, is that it's one thing to read about this stuff in a UFO book or magazine or something, or even to hear somebody talk about it. But to see it, to see people talking about what happened to them, to look into their eyes. And this is not fake news, folks. This is about people who had real things happening to them, and we can discuss what that might have been, but that has an incredible impact.
Well, especially children, because you know they're so sincere when they're pleading with you about fairness. They feel it. They know it. They're not just making it up. You know that they're telling the truth when it's like that.
Yeah. I tell you, man, when I don't use the word indelible very often, but that, the testimonials from the children, and it, you know, even as adults, here's one other thing I'll mention quickly, and this was of no surprise, really, but I think it was Channel 8, but it might have been Channel 10. I'm sorry, I don't remember, in Australia, but they're nationwide. And they were on the scene in 1966, right after this incident took place, literally within an hour or so, interviewing the children. And I went on that channel all those years later when I was in Australia, and I asked the news people what happened to that material. And I don't remember if it was Shane Ryan or if it was someone later on that went after that footage, but apparently the canister in their archive department was there, and they opened it up and it was empty. So all that was erased. That archival footage, which would have been absolutely precious, can you imagine?
Yeah.
And then having the authorities come down and basically tell everyone not to talk about it. I mean, could you imagine?
Yeah.
And the teachers being threatened, the principals being threatened. I mean, my God. You know, and that's one of the things that you remember the teacher, the scientific teacher, and everyone I've shown it to is like, oh, my God, there's no way that guy's lying. But he said what puzzled him the most was why he couldn't talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is the question, right? And we'd all like to know. There's so many little parts in this film that you really do need to watch it a couple of times to pick them up, you know? But there was one in there where you might have to help me out in terms of remembering exactly where it was, but they were talking about these same films went into these archives in the United States, right, when they were doing the studies back in the day. And the person that was talking about this said, well, when they went looking for them, the excuse was, well, that somebody just, you know, packed them into some cardboard boxes and they went out in the trash or something like that. I mean, that boggles my mind. I mean, we know that that happened with some of the moon landing stuff, which, you know, how that could happen, I don't know. But it boggles my mind how material like that can just vanish into nowhere.
I had brought up the alleged footage, according to Gordon Cooper, of the landing at Edwards Air Force Base circa 1957 that was filmed by his camera crew. I think they were filming the installation of some landing facility for F-86 fighter jets back in the late 50s. And, you know, he talks about this footage. He held the footage. He had it developed, and then he held it in his hands. And he said, I said, well, did you watch it? Gordon Cooper said, well, I didn't look. I didn't put it to the thing and play it, but I did hold it up to light, and I could see it was a disc on the dry lake bed, yada, yada, yada. And then eventually getting, you know, calls in from Washington, and a courier jet came and picked the footage up, and, of course, never to be seen or heard from again. And I brought this up when I had a sit-down with Senator Harry Reid. And I wasn't sure, by the way, George Knapp facilitated that interview happening, and I have to tip my hat to him every time I mention Senator Reid. But I brought that footage up to Senator Reid, and I wasn't sure if I was going to go beyond his comfort zone, talking about footage of a flying saucer landing on the dry lake bed at Edwards Air Force Base. You know, at any point, he might be like, you know what, I'm not talking about this, and kind of get up and leave. I was cautious. But to my amazement, he confirmed that stuff like that was there. And then I even said, well, are you implying that there's evidence that hasn't seen the light of day? And he takes a moment and pauses, which seemed like a 5 minutes of the time. It was probably just a beat. Takes a sip of his water and then responds that most of the evidence hasn't seen the light of day. And then, take it even further, when I met with former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence, Christopher Mellon, during both Clinton and I think Bush years, he said that President Clinton had met with Gordon Cooper and that they had, in an official capacity, told Christopher Mellon to go after this alleged landing footage at Edwards. And so it was funny because I was interviewing Gordon Cooper in the 90s, talking about the footage. At the exact same time, he was meeting with Clinton in the White House, and Christopher Mellon was actually going after that material, and he talks about it in the movie. And then he eventually gets some high-level Air Force guy who says, oh, yeah, we had to, you know, get rid of all that stuff to make space for whatever. And he's like, oh, come on.
Yeah,
you know, Christopher Mellon's like rolling his eyes, like, yeah, you don't throw away footage of a flying saucer landing at a military base.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, how does this even happen? Like, how believable is that, really? You know,
It didn't happen. That's nonsense.
I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, you've got all these people prominent in the government. You have somebody who was a relatively high official with the Bush and with the Clinton administrations, Christopher Mellon, who's really, I think, one of the stars of the film because he's so straightforward and pleasant in his demeanor. He doesn't come across like a government bureaucrat. And you see Senator Harry Reid, who is clumsy in the way he talks. You know, he's not really a great public speaker. And he says, yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there that hasn't been disclosed. And you look at all this and you wonder, my God, these people in high authority know something's going on, but we don't have more of a reaction. It's like, let's go back to the 2016 election. You'll remember this, James, and certainly Randall does. We had Hillary Clinton going on late-night TV shows talking about UAPs and why she wants, if she's elected president, to have a look at it. And I was thinking here, my God, what is she doing? We're going to have Trump running around raving, crooked Hillary is nuts. Crooked Hillary is chasing flying saucers and all this stuff. And you know what he said? Nothing. I mean, all the things he attacked about her didn't mention this at all. And we think all this stuff out there and people aren't talking about it. I mean, I understand now because we live in this nutty news cycle where there is the story of the day, the tweet of the day, the controversy of the day. And I suggest on the show, and maybe I'll get your reaction as we talk about the film further, James Fox, is that if tomorrow somebody in authority, the DNI, even Trump himself, said, you know what, we have this phenomenon. It's very possible that these craft are not of this earth. And you know what? It would be in the news cycle for about 2 hours, and then people would get back to chasing after Hunter Biden or something. More to come with James and Randall and Gene. You're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The chief of staff for the vice president has tested positive. Mark Short went into quarantine Saturday after learning of his positive COVID-19 test. Both Vice President Pence and his wife Karen tested negative on Saturday. In a statement, his office said that while Short is considered a close contact with the vice president, Pence would be maintaining his schedule. President Trump was on the campaign trail Saturday through several battleground states holding rallies in Ohio and Wisconsin, and telling a crowd in Lumberton, North Carolina about his work to help the middle class.
I fight for the middle class, and Biden and his cronies serve only one class. They serve the donor class, believe it or not. Now, in all fairness, the donor class, I would be the greatest in history. All I have to do is call them, send 10 million, send 10 million. Everyone would send 10 million. But once you do that, you can't deal with them anymore. Once you do that, you can no longer do what's right for you.
This is USA Radio News. Most of the San Francisco Bay Area could be in the dark come Sunday. USA Radio Network's Kenneth Burns explains why.
Pacific Gas and Electric may cut power to more than a million people Sunday to prevent the chance of sparking wildfires as extreme fire weather returns to the region. The nation's largest utility announced the move yesterday. They said it could black out customers in 38 counties, including most of the San Francisco Bay Area. The forecasts are calling for a return of bone-dry, gusty weather that carries the threat of downing power lines or other equipment that have been blamed for igniting massive and deadly blazes in recent years, particularly in central and northern California.
Meanwhile, wildfires in Colorado have turned deadly as two people are confirmed dead in the East Troublesome Fire burning in northern Colorado. That blaze has burned more than 188,000 acres, becoming the second biggest fire in state's history. The largest, the Cameron Peak Fire, has torched nearly 207,000 acres and is burning just miles away. This is USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nanocolloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nanocolloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
James, do you agree with me at all that it is so crazy out there that real disclosure of that nature that I cited in the previous segment would just vanish from this lineup after a few hours?
You know, I've never been a big fan of or proponent of, you know, so-called disclosure with a capital D. I always felt that it was extremely unlikely. But if there was any level of confirmation of the existence of UFOs, and we've gotten kind of close recently, the acknowledgement of UAPs and official material, but it would have to be backed with concrete, irrefutable data and evidence, because that would be the only way, in my opinion, that it would really stick. So I think that if they did release, and look, we know they're sitting on a treasure trove of material. I mean, we've got the stories decade after decade after decade, the incursions over sensitive nuclear weapons facilities, shooting nuclear-tipped warheads out of the sky that were on videotape at Vandenberg Air Force Base. I mean, there's countless witnesses that have talked about this, film footage and landing at Holloman Air Force Base footage and all this material. I mean, you can imagine the gun camera footage they've got from the 50s and 60s. So they're sitting on a treasure trove of hard evidence, the radar, whatever recovered, I'm sure, on the crash cases. But you can't just do it with words. It would have to be, and I think that a lot of that might be out of the, in the private sector at this point, from what I can understand. Not all of it, but it sounds like a lot of it is. So how do you get access to that?
Did you consider probing into Bob Bigelow?
I had a meeting with Bob Bigelow years ago, funny enough, you should say that. And Bob Bigelow said things to me at his home in Las Vegas that I'm still having a hard time processing 10 years later.
Do tell.
Well, I don't want to come across as a nutter, but...
You're already there, James. Don't worry about it. You're in good company.
Look, I'm just uncomfortable talking about this stuff just because I myself have no evidence to support it. And I'm not claiming that I do support it, or I'm not claiming that I do believe it. But coming from him and knowing what he's, all the think tanks he's put together and all the classifications and all the evidence and all the research and the millions of dollars, that if anyone was going to be in a position to know, it would probably be Bigelow. And Bigelow not only talked about the impact of this coming out that it would have on the world economy and all this, religion and everything else. I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying I agree with that, but that's one of the things he reminded me of. And the other thing was, and again, I have to really emphasize this clearly to your audience, that I'm not saying that I believe this, but I have to, I can't just quickly dismiss it because of the source, but he's convinced they're walking among us.
Well, he's not the only one. We have people like Dr. David Jacobs, who talks about human-alien hybrids. Now, one thing you didn't get into, there, of course, were the abductions.
Well, hang on a sec there, Gene. I'd like to hear a little bit more about this. Like,
go ahead. Let's do that first and then go to the other. Go ahead.
Yeah. Did he specify in any more detail than that? Or did he just kind of sort of cryptically allude to the fact that he believes they're out there walking among us?
He cryptically alluded to it, but firmly, very firmly.
Interesting. I mean, like Gene said, he wouldn't be the only one. Timothy Good believes that. I'm tempted at times to think that, well, you know, we see on programs like Star Trek the idea of an away mission to check out a civilization beforehand. I mean, wouldn't we do something like that if we went to another planet? We might try the same thing. It's not really as far out there as you might think in terms of the concept, you know.
Well, my fear is just by the very fact of me talking about that, I don't want to frighten anybody off because I'm associated with some people that are connected to the film, and I don't want to go beyond their comfort zone. And that's why I'm saying, look, I'm not telling anyone that that's what I believe. I would have to see a lot of significant evidence of which I don't have and nor have I seen to be able to start saying that. And I'm acutely aware of the reaction that would bring. I mean, you just can't say stuff like that publicly without having significant. I mean, come on, think about it.
Well, hey, I share your sentiment on it, but it does make me think, and it make it, you know, I've wondered from time to time, well, if that's true, you know, how would we be able to tell them apart? You know, just to be fair-minded about it, well, okay, so let's suppose that that's the case. You know, how would they manifest themselves? How could we tell them apart from someone in a mall? If we're walking through a mall and there's hundreds of people, or of course a lot less these days, what would be about them that would maybe give them away, you know? And it's an interesting thing to contemplate, but it's an entirely separate thing than when you start talking about things like radar contacts, and of course you cover the Nimitz case in the film as well, and there's some real golden moments there. The interview with David Fravor, I mean, he's saying like his entire ship, 5,500 people on that ship, on that aircraft carrier, by the time this was all over, knew exactly what was going on. And this, so we're talking about, they weren't maybe direct witnesses, but they were there and knew that these planes had chased them, had taken images of them, they'd been tracked on their systems, and that they were there. So this just isn't 5,500 people, say, at a sports event or something. These are military-trained people.
Yeah, no, it's a fascinating case. Hey, did you guys look, a couple of things I wanted to point out is some of the archival material that we got. You know, David Marler was very helpful with that. There was Tom Tullian, a Project Sign archive. I don't know if you are oral history. He had shot interviews. I mean, look, we've all heard of the William Nash and Fortenberry, right? William Nash and William Fortenberry case.
Sure.
Two pilots that flew between the nine discs. But to hear the testimony from William Nash, I mean, my God, it really brought that story to life. It's just so priceless. And then hearing Al Chop in the radar room, the two
pilots
in 1952, and one of the really poignant moments for me was his description of listening to the voice of the pilot as he's literally flying through the pitch black at 600 miles an hour into a group of unknowns. And he gets on his radio, terrified, basically, trying to maintain his composure, and he asks the people on the ground in the radar room, what do I do?
Yeah.
For some reason, that story came to life with that testimony, unlike I've never seen it. You know, the human element of it.
What I really liked about your film when you were doing that, too, and, okay, I'm a little bit of a stickler for certain kinds of details, right? You actually had, and you know, images or, you know, clips of an F-94. It was the same kind of plane that was used. And the same thing with the F-86 Sabrejet. When you had those clips, those were the planes that they were using in the day. And I thought, nice touch for sure.
Oh, thanks for noticing. Did you notice the B-25 that we got from William Coleman?
Yeah, that was really good. Yeah, love that. I mean, those are little things that, to me, in a film, really make a big difference.
I'm so glad you noticed that. You're the first person to mention that. We went out of our way to make sure that was the right, those were the right planes.
Oh, yeah, that was like, okay, because, okay, so, you know, I've been in ufology a long time. I'm like, okay, let's see what this is like. And then those clips come in, and I'm just like, yeah, okay, I'm checking off that box. That doesn't happen very often, you know, really.
You're the first person to notice that.
Nice touch.
Hey, we're going to split here in a moment. I just want to mention something we'll refer to more detail in the next segment as we continue with James Fox, the director of The Phenomenon. At age 92, James Randi, one of the most famous or infamous skeptics, a escape artist, is dead at the age of 92. James Randi. We've got more to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
And before we go on, James Fox, having heard about Randy, did you ever encounter him in the course of your travels?
I did not. I mean, James Oberg.
Completely and, different.
Yep, I know. But who's the other guy? There was James Oberg, and who's the guy that died? Oh, Klaus.
Oh, right, Klaus. Yeah.
Phil Klaus. So Phil Klaus and Randy. Nope. I was a guest on Randy's radio show for WOR Radio in the 60s, and the backstory is very quick here. And that is that when Long John went to another station, to WNBC, Randy took it over for a year or two, and then it was canceled. I was on there a couple of times, and Randy, in addition to all his other stuff, and then he wasn't as quite an arch skeptic as he was later, he was also an astronomer, amateur astronomer, and I actually interviewed him on that subject like about 1968. James Randy did it 92, really hung out for a long, long time. He had to wait till his beard was fully grown, I think. I don't want to be silly about someone's death. Let's get back to the phenomenon, and Randall, of course, mentioning this. And I referred to this earlier in the fact that we had this brief discussion about the possibility that maybe they're among us now. Abductions is not a place you wanted to touch because of the time factor or what?
You know, I feel that this is the first film, and I've done, like I said, this is my fourth and a half film, because I did two versions of Out of the Blue, that if I'm successful in transcending the UFO community, not that I'm trying to create something enjoyable for all of us, but to create something palatable and viewable among mainstream and get them thinking, I felt I needed to take baby steps. And going out on a limb with alleged close encounters of the third kind, it's the first time I've done that, I felt that was about as far as I wanted to push it for now. Obviously, there are lots of other aspects of the phenomenon that, you know, obviously were not included, but, you know, baby steps.
Now, the only real criticism I've seen of the film, except, you know, minor quibbles, is that, oh, I knew about these cases already. But your core audience is not the person who knows about all this stuff, is it?
You know, we would say in the edit room, where are we going? We're on the road to Rua. And what we meant by that, that was our mantra, was that if we penetrate a mainstream audience with this film, if we succeed with what we're trying to do, A, I wanted to give a lot of little nuggets of new information on older cases, some of the stuff I just talked with you about with Al Chop and William Nash and the daughter of Kenneth Arnold. I mean, those interviews are the first time ever, right? Really cool stuff, new angles, new information, new documents. You know, for instance, with the Socorro Lanning case, I interviewed the family. I interviewed the wife. No one's ever done that before. Went to the National Archives with Ray Stanford. I got never-before-seen archival material. But what I mean by Road to Rua is that we had to build our case, because I know how I felt when I first heard about that alleged Lanning case at the school in Rua, Zimbabwe in 1994. I heard about it in 97. I didn't believe it. And I was already making the documentary on UFOs. So I knew what we were up against. And I knew that we had to methodically and diligently sort of build our case, almost like we're in a court of law presenting to a jury. Not that we're trying to prophesize around the world to get our audience to join our cult of believers, but put the real, you know, evidence in front of the audience and allow them to make up their own minds. So I stretched it with the Close Encounters of the Third Kind as far as I was comfortable doing for now. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to explore other aspects and further productions of the phenomenon, but for this one, I went about as far as I felt I should.
Some random observations here, looking over the reviews on the site. We got one there from Christopher Lloyd. Yes, that guy, Doc Brown from Back to the Future, and Bob Gale, the co-producer, I guess writer, of Back to the Future. How did that come about?
So we were very fortunate. One of the producers is a guy named Dan Farah. He produced Ready Player One with Steven Spielberg. It was a huge blockbuster hit a couple of years ago. And we're very lucky to get him on board. And he's been putting his reputation and pulling on his Rolodex and going all in on the phenomenon. And it's been a big boon in terms of getting outreach to the mainstream. He's really good at it. And that's the crazy thing, is that people, for the first time I'm seeing, I know I sound like a broken record, but this is my fourth film on the topic. And I've never seen the level of endorsement publicly in a UFO doc. The fact that I think we did a good doc, I think it's a sign of the times. I think that a lot changed after the New York Times expose of the ATIP program, the secret UFO Pentagon program, and the likes of Senator Harry Reid coming forward, because I think that added a level of credibility and legitimacy to this topic that we hadn't really seen before.
Now, just quickly, before we go back to this, on Rotten Tomatoes, you got 86 with the critics, which is pretty darn good, and 97 with the audience, which is better than pretty darn good, because very few films garner that high a rating.
I'm just, you know, at this point, I'm practically a passenger. I mean, I'm, you know, obviously engaging in as much as I can, pacing myself with media events and radio and podcasts and things of that nature. But I'm a passenger on this project right now myself. And I've been saying this to the, you know, to the community, is like, of which I'm part of, is that, you know, we're all in this together. Everybody has played their part. And this film exists because of all the hard work and dedication that each and every one of us has done. It's one of the reasons why I dedicated the film to Stanton Friedman. You know, I tried to include as many people as I could in the credits that were involved, but people were working tirelessly behind the scenes, making a lot of things happen. But also, again, it's the result of all the hard work people have done for the last, you know, several decades. And I'm truly grateful. And I think the film's success is a direct reflection of all the hard work that people like yourselves and everyone else in the community has done.
Well, I'd like to see it win a couple of awards. That definitely for documentary. I mean, that's something to celebrate. When you start getting those kind of reviews and ratings, that's got to make you feel good, James. So congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, again, I have to emphasize this took a village. Some people that were directly involved with it and people that were indirectly involved with it. But it really is the result and dedication of everybody in the UFO community for decades. And the film success is all of our success. It excites me, and I'm really happy that it's getting the attention in the mainstream that it's getting. Who knows when it'll plateau. Hopefully it keeps going. One can only hope, but it's exciting. It's exciting to see where it's going to go.
Now, I want to look at some of the other people who get prominent parts of the film. Of course, Jacques Vallée. Now, he was a senior advisor to the film, appears in a number of segments, and we have to remember here, Jacques is not a kid. He's like 81. And he put in, based on what you're going to be telling us in a few moments here, an incredible amount of work with you on this film.
He did. And Lee Spiegel brought Jacques to the table, and he got involved somewhat reluctantly at arm's length and committed to a very, very small role. And we continued to hang out, spend time together, lunches, dinners. We brought him out to the studio. We edited the movie in a tiny shack at the end of a long dirt road with no running water, no toilet, no internet. It had an extension cord, a couple hundred feet long, going from a main house in a garden.
Wait a minute. I mean, this sounds like, okay, a normal, I wouldn't laugh, but actually it sounds like you had to actually search out this place because, most people would want to be, close to some civilization where they have some conveniences and at least a toilet and an internet connection. Like, how was it that you ended up out there?
Well, because I was initially editing, I have a studio at my house, but it was problematic. I have a young son. People coming and going all hours of the night. It was very disruptive to my family life and my couldn't focus. But I couldn't at the same time be too far away because I was still picking my son up from school and, being a father. And so I've been in this community for decades, and everybody knows me, and I know everybody. And I thought it would be fairly easy to find an affordable, place to rent, but it wasn't.
Let's break here and go into the story. More to come with James, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.